This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the 1-2 to Campusano, swung on and missed, strike three. Got him to go after a curveball in the dirt. The ball game is over. The series is over. And the Rockies come to town and sweep three straight. They have won seven in a row for the first time since 2019.
Oh, and so it is. And so it goes. Welcome in, everybody. Just a quick get-together tonight, an hour to spend with you here on Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. getting on I imagine will not be a very happy plane flight across the country to Atlanta. Padres will open up a series with the Braves on Friday. Let's just get this out in the open after the Rockies beat the Padres today 8-0. Scrabe?
Yeah.
I believe if you go back to Monday evening before the series started.
Yes.
I flat out guaranteed a sweep.
You did. And I went back and looked, Chris, to get that audio to surprise you with it on the air.
Right.
You said it multiple times.
Yes, and as it turned out, I was right. A sweep is what we had.
Okay. You were. I guess you were right. You didn't say
right.
Which way. I
didn't say which way the sweep
you
was going to go.
You did say the Rockies weren't going to score a run.
I tell you, you know what? That was... these last three games are almost unexplainable, honestly, to me. And I know that everybody, you know, is going to trash the Padres for the next 48 hours until they get back to work Friday in Atlanta. And you know what? Trashed, they should be. I mean, really, there's no excuse to get swept by this team. But, you know, prior to the Padres being swept by this team, the World Series champion Texas Rangers were swept by this team.
Yep.
And it just so happens that right now, kind of like a Halley's Comet or something going through the sky once every 78 years, the Colorado Rockies are hot. They're playing good baseball. They're hitting the ball, you know, where they ain't. Jordan Beck hits his first home run of his life today, drives in five runs out of the number nine spot. Jacob Stallings, their backup catcher, drives in two more. That's seven of the eight runs driven in by the bottom of the order. Austin Gomber came into the game with no wins. He now has one. You know, I mean, it was just, look, the Rockies did it all. I mean, Ryan McMahon had a big series. He started it, touched it off last night. I don't know how many clutch two-out hits they had last night. Once Cola came into the game, right, last night, it was hit. Run. Went from 1-0 to 5-0 just like that.
It did.
You know, I mean, that was them getting hits. What do you, you know, I mean, I know that the Padre fans are going to say, well, you can't bring Kolek in there. Okay, what are you supposed to do? The guy has a 1.93 ERA over his last 12 games. He'd been pitching well. But you know what? They bring him in. The Rockies are, they're on a roll right now. You know, and you know, the timing was really crappy to play them. Now, that does that absolve the Padres of everything that happened in this series? Absolutely not. I thought they played sloppy baseball. You know, just for example, I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr., how long you been playing, Fernando? Yeah, honestly, I mean, I'm not trying to pick on this, but if you're on first base and you take off and there's a fly ball and you touch second and round the bag, even if it's by a step, you have to touch second again before you go back to first base. That's not...
I don't even know where to go with that.
That's not a rookie mistake.
No.
That's a bonehead play right there.
Is it lack of focus?
I don't know.
Is it trying to make a play or trying to get back and you just made a mistake?
You know, remember we talked about this the other day. Guys are going to get thrown out on the bases. That's not necessarily bad base running. Sometimes you try to take an extra base. But in this case, that's bad base running. That's a definition of bad base running. That was a self-inflicted wound. Did it matter? I don't know. It would have brought Manny up with two outs in the first inning, and God knows Manny's never going to get a hit again, according to most people. So, you know, I don't know. But it's stuff like that you can't have.
Jerickson Profar last night getting thrown out at second.
Well, look, Jerickson... Again, that is, to me, that's less of an error, certainly than Tatis's.
Yes.
But Jerickson should know better. And the play was right in front of him. It's a line drive into the right field corner. He's right in front of him as he's rounding first. And for some reason, he thinks he can take second. Now, I got to tell you, the Rockies right fielder, Jake Cave, is his name.
He made some plays.
He looked like Roberto Clemente out there this week. He made four or five fantastic catches. He made that throw to cut Profar down. And, you know, see, here's one thing we don't know, and I'm not trying to defend Profar. But maybe the scouting report going into the series was, hey, we can run on Jake Cave. You know, maybe that's what he was told. Maybe that's in his mind.
Yeah.
And we don't know that.
Like, if you can stretch it to a double,
do it. If you think
you
can get it, go for it, because he can't throw.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that scouting report was wrong. Or maybe that wasn't the scouting report, and Jerickson just did that on his own, and it was a bad decision. But, see, a bad decision versus a bad play. There's two different things. Profar, bad decision. Tatis, bad play. Campusano, sloppy. In the first inning, passed ball, puts a runner in scoring position. You know, they didn't score on this, but that's the kind of little thing that I'm seeing right now from this ball club that isn't pretty. It's not clean. It's not clean baseball. They made three errors in the first game of the series. They're making some mistakes, you know, on the bases. They're not making and they're pitching right now. Michael King, honestly, I don't want to say, you know, this is stupid. I said this to you off the air. But it seemed like I could have hit a couple of those pitches. The hanging slider that he threw to Jacob Stallings
is delicious to a hitter.
It was the worst pitch I've seen almost all year by any pitcher. And the thing was, is that was with two outs and runners at second and third. I have always felt those are the biggest at-bats of any ball game. Why? Because a hit is a two-run play. And if you get an out, you save two runs. You can't hang that slider to a not great hitter and leave it hanging on the upper inside part of the plate and just, he easily whacks it into left field. The score went from 3-0 to 5-0. That to me was a huge, you know, moment in the game. And you can't make that pitch. The pitch the slider that he hung to, Brenton Doyle for the home run. I mean, Doyle hit that about 430 feet. I mean, it was right there. So, you know, you got to make better pitches than that. But at the same time, they have to hit them. And the Rockies were, you know, doing that in this series. So it was just a mess all the way around. I don't know that it was, you know, played well. I don't know that it was pitched well. It certainly wasn't hit well. The Padres finally got a bouncing single by Campusano last night. That snapped an 0-for-23 streak with runners in scoring position. But never fear, they've started a new streak. Since then, they're 0 for their last 7 or 8. Today, they were 0-for-5. Never got a hit with runners in scoring position. A defiant Manny Machado continues to swing at the first pitch and ground into double plays. And every time he's asked about it, he says, I'm going to keep doing the same thing. Well, today... he swung at the first pitch, the second pitch, the third pitch, and then he went and sat down.
Yeah.
He didn't put the ball in play today. He actually struck out three times in four at-bats. We can go through all of this stuff, and we can try to come up with a million reasons why they lost three games to the Rockies. You know, first on the board is that the Rockies played well. It's hard to stomach that because they're bad.
Yeah.
But they weren't bad this week. They really weren't. I mean, they made plays, they pitched, they hit. But that aside, this Padre team is not going anywhere until Machado and Tatis and to a certain extent Bogarts, until these three guys start dominating some games. That's it. There is no way, as good as he's been, that Profar is going to carry you by himself to the postseason. Cronenworth has had a huge rebound year, but he's not doing it. Solano had two hits today, but he's not, you know, that kind of guy. Camposano, Jackson Merrill, they've had their moments, but they're all complementary players, every one of them, until your stars, Machado, Tatis especially, and to a certain extent, the well-paid Bogarts, they've got to start, you know, dominating, or the Padres are going to be muddling around this 500, one game over, two games under, three under, two over, all season. They're not going anywhere.
I hope they get back over soon.
Well, look, they're two games under 500, and you're right. There is some concern because you're going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You're going to Cincinnati. And when you come back, the Yankees are coming in. So at least two of your next three series are against two of the top teams in baseball. The only good news about that, you just beat one of the other top teams in baseball, the Dodgers, before losing the series. And I think that's the other thing that's very frustrating. You thought you had a little something going after that Dodger series, right? You're feeling your oats. You're feeling good. And, you know, people are going to say, well, they had a letdown. They didn't have a letdown. That's ridiculous. There's no letdown. Baseball is not that kind of an emotional affair, I don't think, where you get letdowns. They played poorly in these last three games.
I would have assumed they go into this series thinking, you know, we just hit the ball. We played good defense. We pitched well. I would assume that they were really excited to be playing the Rockies.
Let's just keep going here. Yeah. I mean, they had a little something there, but, you know, that's gone now, and they're going to have to find a way to get it back. And the one last thing I will say about just the overall tenor of the season, everybody was happy, and rightly so, with the fact that they won four series in a row, right? They beat the Reds, they beat the D-backs, they beat the Cubs, they beat the Dodgers. They won all four series. But at some point, and we talked about this, you and I, yesterday, at some point, you're going to have to bring out the brooms and sweep somebody. And the reason you have to do that is because of what happened in this case. The Rockies taking three games essentially wiped out everything you gained over the last 12 games by winning four series.
Yep.
Winning those four series puts you four games over 500 in that group of games, but then you give three of them right back, just like that. Sweeps are a big deal. You can't expect a sweep, of course, every series, and I understand this notion. I want to win a series and move on. I want to win a series and move on. It's true. You do. But every now and again, you got to bring out the brooms. That's, you know, to get somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's hard. It seems like it's been so hard for this team in the last 2 years to get anything
to
going.
To get a good streak going, right. Other than the great winning streak they had, basically after it was all decided last year, you know, in September, they haven't had a streak. They never won four in a row last year
until
August.
Until the end, yeah.
Right? They've only won four in a row once this year.
You know, there's a comment right here, sweep the Braves and it will be forgotten now. Sweeping the Braves will be amazing. And it wouldn't surprise me because that's what this team does.
It really wouldn't be shocking if
they go there, they win three of four. I think they're playing four games. And you lose three to the Rockies. That's just what this team has been doing.
It's been a little crazy. There's part of you that says maybe they'll just go to Atlanta, go to Cincinnati, win five out of seven games.
Cincinnati's another not-so-good team.
Yeah, they haven't been playing well. The Padres have been playing much better on the road than they have at home.
That's the other thing that drives me insane about visiting teams at Petco Park. They are all able to hit bunches of home runs, and the Padres struggle to hit home runs. I know they hit, what, like four on Sunday or three on Sunday or something like that, but it's been a struggle for them to score runs.
I don't know what
home.
They did against the Rockies. They hit a couple in the first game.
Yes.
Profar hit one.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Merrill hit one.
Yes.
They certainly didn't hit one today as they didn't score.
You know,
I don't recall them hitting one yesterday either. So
last night, like, they're down 6-0. They come out. I think it was the seventh. They put up three runs. And then the eighth, they have an opportunity. In the ninth, they didn't really have an opportunity. But Like, I heard the stadium. The stadium just wants this team to get on a streak, get on a roll. They're ready because they're behind them when they're down 6-0 in the seventh inning. And the boos, loudest I've ever heard at Petco.
Maybe not ever, but
for me,
loud.
At least.
Pretty loud, centered on Manny. You know, I mean, after the game on Monday night when he grounds out on the first pitch into the double play, there's all this chatter about it. First inning, next game, first pitch again, grounds into another double play. The Boo Birds went
wild.
They went off.
Wild.
They went off. Then he grounded into another double play on the first pitch later in the game last night. Again.
Runs being given up by the pitchers, boos.
Well, look, it's not pretty to get swept by the Rockies.
No, it's not. I'm not saying the people are wrong for booing
either. On your home field. No, you deserve it. Boo away. Boo away. That three-game performance deserved nothing but a big fat boo.
Okay, hold on.
Hurt anybody.
No. You know, the boos, like last night, it just felt sad because we're at a point where we feel like we have to boo the team just to get them going.
Well, this is, you know, they got to get going. And hopefully this road trip, they'll be able to put this behind them and move on. Mike Shildt was quite testy in the post game press conference today. Not overly so, but I think. A little bit. You can tell he's feeling
he's
some of the frustration.
Yeah, he can definitely feel it.
Yeah, we'll play some of that when we come back, give you a chance to hear that. Also, if you want to jump in on the phones, I know Sammy took a lot of phone calls on the postgame show, but if there's anybody left over that wants to get their harangue in, you're more than welcome to. Or if you think you have any solutions to what's happening right now.
You should be hired by the team to.
Yeah.
If you do.
Well, I'll be the judge of
your
solution.
You're going to be the.
If your solution is trade Manny and, you know, get rid of Bogarts, then they're probably not going to hire you to work for the Padres.
So you're going to be the filter guy. You're going to filter everyone.
If that's your solution, you're probably not going to get a lot of support on it. But, yeah, if you got a couple of ideas, what would you do right now? I mean, you know, this is a sucky three-game performance. So what would you do about it? You got 48 hours to try and sort it out before you play the Braves on Friday. We'll sort it out with you when we come back. Scraby and I are here till 6 o'clock, but then you get a bonus hour because Scraby stays for the Chronicles from 6 to 7 tonight.
Lots of thoughts.
I bet you. All right, stick around. We are underway for a kind of a...
It's dreary.
Gray and dreary Wednesday, right?
It totally is.
Yes. 8-0 Rockies. They put an exclamation point on their somewhat embarrassing sweep of the Padres on Gwynn and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling too chipper right about now. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. As I said in the first segment, if you were with us on Monday, I called a sweep. Unfortunately, the wrong team did the sweeping.
This is for you.
You're booing me now?
Yeah. You know, you blame it all on me all the time, so...
I know.
You disarmed me by coming into here today, and I said, we are going to have to talk about your prediction.
Right.
Chris said, yeah, we will. I'm like, dang it!
I mean, of course we're going to talk about that prediction. I mean, they should have swept the Rockies. I'm not going to take the blame for it. The Padres should take the blame for it. They're the ones who stunk up the joint for three nights, not me.
Oh.
You know, I didn't hang any curveballs to Brenton Doyle or to... Jacob Beck, or whatever his name, Jordan Beck, I think it is.
Who hit his first career home run.
First career home run, five RBIs out of the number nine spot. Please.
Do you think Bud Black goes into the clubhouse and just sits in his office and just smiles every time he does
smiles?
Great? Just smiles, because
I think he's the most miserable he's ever been in his entire life.
This is a small victory.
Exactly. He feels like this is a little respite from what he knows is what is about to come.
Well, that and like
the Rockies aren't going to keep winning, you know, 15, 16 in a row. They're going to go back to being the Rockies at some point.
If they're going
to
win, do it against the team that fired you.
Yeah. Eh, he feels all right. He's a San Diego guy, though.
That's true.
Anyway, Padres do lose 8-0, and we'll have a lot more about the Padres tomorrow from 10 to 11 a.m. I definitely invite you, if you haven't listened to one of our roundtable commercial-free hours, you got to tune in tomorrow. It should be interesting. I'll be on, along with Ben and Woods and Annie and Elston. All of us will break down what happened in this series to the Rockies. And in this hour, we'll get to a couple of your phone calls out there, so stick around. But first, Mike Shildt, after the game, as I said, getting a little frustrated. I test he's not fair. I think he's a little stressed and a little, you know, who wouldn't
rightfully
be frustrated
so.
After this? And
this,
you know,
is where I'm glad I'm not a manager, by the way.
I'm also glad I'm not in the media after games like this. These are not easy questions to ask.
No, and they're very uncomfortable.
Nobody wants to ask the manager, what the hell happened? You just lost three games to the worst team in baseball. But that's basically what you have to ask.
It's like the time I asked Mike McCoy about when he's going to cut his punter the day after the punter ruined the game. It was the most uncomfortable moment in my life, I swear to you.
Yeah, that kind of deserved to be.
No!
What do you mean, when are you going to cut your punter?
Well, I didn't say it like that. I stumbled over my words for about 45 seconds. But you get what I'm saying. It's just uncomfortable in there.
It's always tough when the team gets beat. Media has to ask the questions. Mike Shildt has to try to answer, like this one from the UT's Kevin Acey.
Yeah, I don't know how much more to answer these questions. I appreciate them questions. Like,
I'm just looking forward.
I'm looking forward, too. I guess I live in a different place, in a sense of I'm not alibiing the last three games. I don't know how else to explain it. Like,
I guess what I'm saying is there anything you can do differently to change?
Yeah, I understand the question. I get it. I don't know what. We could score first. We could. I mean, there's not going to be a new Rockney speech. We won four series in a row, all against good teams. So we didn't play as well as we'd like for the outcome. I don't know how to really answer that question any better than that, because I think I've tried.
Yeah, he was trying, and that was at the very end of the press conference,
like the
after he'd
time.
Been asked that same question maybe 15 times. Look, they played not as good as the Rockies. He was not willing to say today that they played poorly. He didn't think they played poorly. He just thought they lost.
Yeah.
And he said there's a difference between playing poorly and, you know, basically giving the games away.
Do you want me to play this? At least a little bit of it.
Sure, I'll hear a little of this. Okay. I mean, he was a little defiant on the sense that, you know, because the reporters were trying to, you know, say, well, you must have played really poorly. You just lost to the Rockies. And he wasn't really having any of that.
How do you keep it, Mike, from going from being outplayed for 3 days to it becoming four and so on?
Well, again, I'm going to take exception with the word outplayed. We lost three games. And I'm going to repeat it because I think it clearly needs to be repeated. Look, I'm not defending the fact we lost three games. I'm not even alibiing that for a second. I own that. I'll take the responsibility if you want. But I can sit here and it's a different answer to your questions of the game of baseball. We lost three games, and then we lost three games by beating ourselves and getting outplayed. Now, they played very well.
That was just a little bit of it, but you can hear the frustration. The first outplayed, he said, had a little bit of fire behind it.
Yeah.
I have a little issue with the word outplayed.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. Well, he didn't think they did get outplayed. They did. I mean,
he's not going to say that, though.
Well, he's going to stick up for his guys, and any decent manager should, especially when you just lost three straight games. A horrible manager goes into the press conference after you losing three straight like this and says, you know what? My guys stink. They're playing terrible.
Like this Ron is not Washington the, last night.
This is not that's Ron Washington's thing. That's not the way to do this. You know, the way to do this is to have your guys back and, you know, maybe you try to take a little of the blame yourself if you can find a way to do that. But there wasn't a whole lot to say about these three games. You know, game one, the Rockies walked 11 guys.
Yeah.
The Padres blew it and missed all their opportunities to win the game. They didn't, I mean, they made three errors in that game as well. But basically, the Rockies tried desperately to give them the game. They didn't take it. Last night, you know, they were down 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
I told you Cal Quantrill was pitching pretty well.
He was, and he did.
And he pitched well. McMahon, when McMahon hit that fly ball last night against Dylan Cease, I thought it was a can of corn to Fernando.
Just kept floating.
It just kept floating.
And Fernando was like looking at it like, when are you going to come down?
Right. Fernando kept looking at it and then kept going back and back. And he's like, dang, it's not coming down. So, you know, and then Kolek came in and Kolek has been almost lights out over the last 14 games.
That's the Padres' luck. There was a collective sigh in the stadium when that happened.
Yeah, but you've got to bring somebody in. I mean, this is your bullpen.
I get that part.
I mean, who did you want to bring in? Suarez right there in the sixth inning?
No, it was more like, oh, here we go again.
Well, you know, if you're going to think that, how about the night before when they were down 5-0 and they had to take Vasquez out of the game? And they brought the bullpen in, and the bullpen pitched 5 2/3 innings of no-hit ball.
But that's what's happened this year. One part of the team is going to play well, and the other two parts of the team or whatever aspects of the game, that they're not going to play well. Yeah. They can't put it together. They can't have one complete win, it seems like.
And Mike Schilt would answer you by saying, well, you know, we put it together for the last week and a half by winning four straight series.
And he's right.
We played consistent ball. Everybody's saying, when are you going to be more consistent? Well, you can't be a whole lot more consistent than winning 2 out of 3 against 4 straight good teams.
Yeah.
That's consistent.
It is, but it's not consistent to lose 3 in a row to a team
that entered with
single-digit wins.
And that's, I know they did. And that's where my sweep thing comes into play. You got to start sweeping some series so that you can absorb when you get swept.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they just threw out 12 days of good baseball in the last 3 days, because the record is pretty much right back where it started, you know, at the beginning of all that.
Yeah.
And that,
I know.
That is a kick in the pants right there.
I was thinking about
it
that.
It really is.
On the drive home from the game last night, I'm like, it's kind of like golf a little bit. You set yourself up in a good score, and you're like, okay, I birdied. Now I'm back closer to even, and then you get an 8.
Right.
And you're like, okay, well, now I've just ruined all the work I've
just
done.
The golf version of what just happened is that they made 4 straight birdies, and then on the next hole, hit 3 balls into the water.
Yeah, and they made 5 over on that.
That's pretty much what they did.
Cinco bogey.
Yes, they gave, what is that, what it's called?
No.
Cinco bogey?
I couldn't think of it.
Whatever it's called, that's what they seemingly did. All right, I know.
At least
want to get one in?
Yeah,
Adam's been waiting, so jump on here and start us off, Adam. Thanks for calling.
All right, yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, perfect. Yeah, for a long-time listener, first-time caller, so just want to say thanks. I've been in San Diego for 6 years, and the one constant that there has been is Chris Ello ragging on the Rockies every single time they come to town. And it seems like every time they come, they take the series, and then I have to get on the radio and listen to you pout, and it is my favorite radio of the month.
I hate it.
So I will say this. I am from Colorado. Go Rockies. And I enjoy it. I was at the game on Monday. I couldn't believe they won.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the crowd like, come on, guys, calm down. This pitcher's got a 6 ERA. Like, you're going to come back. But
well, if it makes you feel any better, Adam, my wife is from Denver.
Thank you.
So I get a lot of Rockies noise from her and her family. And it just mostly, honestly, what I hear from them and my, you know, the people we know from Denver, which is a lot of people and family that are there, is, you know, the misery of being a Rocky fan. You know, it's awful. They're terrible. They stink. Their owner's awful. You know, the team never wins a game. And so they come to San Diego, and I kind of remind everybody of all that because that's all I've been hearing for the last 3 months. And then, as you pointed out, Adam, they stick it to the Padres.
Adam was right about one thing, though.
What?
Every time the Padres or the Rockies come to town, you do talk them down, and then they do end up winning. So we're not going to do that anymore.
All right. Next time, I'm going to build them up.
Do the Rockies come back here at least once?
Yes, they do.
All right.
So
we will roll
out the red carpet for their next arrival.
Our boss, Adam Klug, would like for you to say that the Braves are going to win, you know, a bunch of games in a row so that you reverse jinx them.
I'm not a reverse jinxer. If I had that kind of – let me tell you something. If I had that, do you think I'd be working in sports talk radio? Hell no. I'd be heading to Vegas every day and using my reverse jinx to make millions of dollars.
That would be amazing.
Right?
I mean,
if I had that kind of power, I would go to Vegas. I would get on the radio from there, and I would say, the Padres are going to sweep the Rockies. Then I would know I'm going to be wrong and go bet everything I have on the Rockies and cash in. But unfortunately, I really, truly don't have that power. So thanks for thinking that.
I wish you did, too.
All right, we'll get a couple more phone calls when we come back. Tell you what else is going on in sports on this Thursday while we've been wallowing in the Padres' defeat as Gwynn and Chris continues. Stuff. I almost forgot. Tonight is like Christmas morning.
What?
Yeah. If you're an NFL football fan, this is like Christmas morning. The NFL schedule for 2024 has been released. I got the whole schedule right here. You ready to go, Scraby? Week one.
I don't find the schedule release as exciting as everyone else.
You don't think I should read off every single game that's going to be played this
year? Absolutely not. We could do that tomorrow. We have plenty of time tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll get into more on the schedule. Of course, it does open. It all starts Thursday, September 5th. Ravens at Chiefs, Thursday night football. That next night on Friday, it'll be the Packers and the Eagles. And I believe that game is in Brazil or somewhere
away. Yes, in Brazil.
It's only on Peacock, so I will not be watching that one. Then Sunday, September 8th, are the openers. Just because I care, the Dolphins open at home against Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, fun.
The first Sunday night game is Rams at Lions.
Oh, sweet.
Rematch of last year's playoff. And the first Monday night game, Jets at 49ers.
Time.
All right, don't. You know, so you don't care. A lot of people do.
No, I said Showtime.
Showtime!
A lot of people do. They really love the schedule release. It's out. You can get it on NFL.com. Find out your favorite team's schedule for 2024. We find out what Dan and El Cajon has on his mind in the wake of a 8-0 loss to the Rockies today that completed a 3-game sweep for Colorado. Hi, Dan.
Hey guys, what a terrific show today. I mean, in spite of the gray weather and the gray ball game, I think you guys are doing a terrific job. Thank you. So here's my take really quick. You know, Manny Machado, 2 for 33, that's .060.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, it's time to give him a little bit of a rest out of that number four spot. Because that number four spot and number five with Bogert batting after him, yeah, we've won four of those series in a row. But if we go back and look at those four series, it was the middle of the lineup. Arise, Cronenworth, Merle, and Capistrano that were doing a lot of the hitting and the scoring. And Profar, these were the guys that were doing most of the hitting. And the rally killers during those four series that we won was Machado and Bogart. If you go back and look at the 4-5 batting spots, and they bat 4 and 5, we don't score that well when we got runners in scoring position. So here's my final point. I think it's time to shake it up just a little bit, and maybe in the Cincinnati where we have a better shot at beating these guys, maybe move Profar to fourth, Merrill to fifth, Machado the sixth, bring up Capistrano the seventh, Bogart the eighth, and Kim the ninth. And I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Dan.
Dan, you know, it's interesting. First of all, thanks for the nice things you said at the beginning of the call. Secondly, I'm going to say some nice things now because I thought your call was good. It was well thought out. And even if I don't 100% agree with, you know, everything, I like when people take their time.
Yeah.
They sort it out.
Yeah.
They think it through.
They have
reasons. They present their case. Here's the thing, though. Manny Machado, what is he, 2 for 33? And I think he's grounded into 31 straight double plays.
Does feel like that,
it does,
Chris.
Right? Yeah, it seems like every time he's up, it's a double play right now. And if it's not, it's a strikeout.
Yeah.
So it's just the worst of both worlds.
Or a soft out, like a pop-up.
But as I said earlier on the show, Dan, the Padres are going nowhere if Machado doesn't get going. The Padres are going nowhere if Tatis doesn't get going. Fernando needs to start taking over games.
He does.
With his arm, with his legs, you know, with his power. But Fernando's season so far, to me, has been largely unimpressive. 256. His OPS is about, I'm going to add it up here, it's 781. That's about 200 points lower than what Fernando normally gives you.
It's higher than I thought, to be honest.
Okay. I know he's got, he got 7 home runs? I should have his stats in front of me,
I'll grab them.
But here's the thing. Fernando needs to have a bigger impact on these games. He is electric and athletic and good enough to start winning some games on his own. And whether it's defense, you know, when he runs the bases and he starts getting guys to balk and he starts stealing third.
Stealing home.
Stealing whatever he's got to do, you know, to, you know, excite everyone, get this team going, you know, start hitting some. He's got 8 home runs.
He's got 8 home runs.
All right. But start hitting some big, you know, rockets. He hit one the other night early in the game to help them beat the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
Got the game going, right?
Yeah.
Bottom of the first, bam, gone. Cronenworth, bam, okay. That gets you in a mood, gets you going. That's what Fernando can do, lighten a fire. I need to see more of that. I asked you, Scraby, before the show, name me a game this year that Fernando's just kind of taken over and won.
One immediately came to mind.
You said you had one.
Yeah, it was the Cubs when he hit that 2-run home run late in the game that put him up, and they won that game.
So I'll give you one, but that's out of 46 games, I need, you know, that to have happened 3 or 4 times with Fernando because he's that good, and he's making that kind of money. I mean, we're counting on this guy. You know, Machado, it goes without saying. 222's not going to get it done. 622 OPS, Manny Machado, that's the kind of OPS that somebody like Brenton Doyle has. You know, I mean, come on,
poor
Brenton
Doyle.
I know, I didn't mean to throw Brenton under the bus, but my eyes went to him.
I'm looking. You're talking
about
the
box score.
You're talking about OPS slugging and all that
let's
stuff.
Let's be honest about it. Brenton Doyle's over 800 right now, so he's doing a lot better than Manny.
In the month of May, I'm looking at Fernando's game log, and he does have plenty of games with hits. It's just that he's not hitting for power at all. He has one double in the month of May and two home runs in the month of May.
Yeah.
And he only has five RBIs in the month of May in what? One, two, three, like 12 games played.
What I'm asking is not always identifiable by statistics.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you know, I get what you're saying. Like, his presence
is
what takes over.
His presence, he can take over games. He can win you games.
Pitchers are nervous when he's on the base path.
And they're nervous when he's in the batter's box.
Yeah,
And they're throwing good pitches to Arise because Fernando's next.
They don't want to pitch to him.
Right. A lot of things that Fernando can do. But he's not really doing that right now, you know? And we know Machado's in a major funk. Am I going to alibi for him and say his elbow's part of the reason? Maybe it is.
I gotta say, last night I saw him stretching his arm a ton last night. And I'm not going to say – he'll never say it's his elbow either.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that the Padres are better off with Manny in the lineup. And I know that's crazy to say right now. But
no, you don't want to take him out.
Chad is saying put him on the IL. Then you're losing his services altogether.
Yeah, like, who you got? Tyler
Eggie.
Wade? Bring Eggie back. But I want to just finish up to Dan.
Yes.
Dan wants to move Machado down in the order, move Bogarts down. I don't hate that in the immediate future, but ultimately, again, this team's going nowhere without Machado batting cleanup and dominating, without Tatis at the top dominating, and without Bogarts starting to contribute, you know, mightily as well. But I've certainly thought about dropping Bogarts down.
He's already been dropped once.
Well, drop him again, because he's not doing it. And until he does it, I know he had a couple of home runs this week. But again, it's the impact is not there.
No,
it's the impact that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
All right, let's check some traffic, and then we'll finish up here.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Crash is cleared on southbound 5 before the 163, and an accident cleared on southbound 15 before Arrow Drive. Everything now in the center divide. On the northbound 15 before West Bernardo, there is a collision involving several vehicles, solving the center divide. And on the coastline, northbound 5, Leucadia Boulevard off-ramp. Crash involving a couple cars there over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Kelly, very good. Everybody be safe out there. Don't take out your frustration on the car next to you.
No, just go on the chat and take out your frustration because...
Are they mad at me?
Musgrove is under
Musgrove's
fire.
Musgrove's taking some heat now, huh?
Well,
Because he's not in there?
Yes, and here's the thing. Joe did an article with The Athletic and Dennis Lynn last week or the week before, and he basically laid out all of these freak injuries that he has put himself in bad spots for,
right.
The burning his feet, the dropping a kettlebell on his toe, the diving for a ball in AAA.
Okay.
And he was basically saying, yeah, I realize that I messed. I realize that I may not be on the IL right now if I don't dive for that ball. I tend to... You know, give them a little bit of leeway when they're taking responsibility for things they've done in the past. And he said he was dumb for doing those things, burning his feet and things like that.
I know,
that
but that's
nature.
All. But that's. But what does that have to do with what's going on right now?
Because he should have been starting. And his shoulder is the problem right now, and his shoulder was hurt last
year. How does the kettlebell affect that? How does burning his feet affect that?
Because he missed time last year. We're not talking about just this year. We're talking about missing time last year.
Oh, please.
But please, what? He is missing time.
He's on the injured list. He hurt his shoulder. What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. I'm trying to see what the chat is seeing, and I can't.
Yeah, I don't see it. Sorry. I mean, if Musgrove can pitch, he's going to pitch.
Yeah.
He's always posted as far as I know.
Yeah.
I don't recall Musgrove begging out of a start.
Never.
All right? Look, it's not Musgrove. It's not Darvish. It's not King. It's not Cease. It's not even Suarez. Machado, Fernando, hello. You are the two guys that carry the flag for the Padres franchise. The team is built around these two guys. They got to go to Atlanta, and these two guys got to win them a couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
Profar can contribute as much, if, you know, I don't know if he can do more. Cronenworth, Jackson Merrill, Camposano, Solano, whoever you want to name, they can all do their part. But until Manny and Tatis go, team is going to be stuck in neutral. You know, a game over 500, a game or two under 500, you know, just kind of stumbling along here. And, you know, we got to get these guys cranked up.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I have for today.
I mean, there's not much else to say.
There isn't a lot more. I mean, you know, this is not what we expected this week, unless, you know, you're, you know, getting behind my sweep story that I tried to tell earlier.
Well, that was pretty funny.
It was funny, but
I knew when you
it
said
wasn't
it.
Accurate.
I was like, man, I have been there myself so many times. Chris, you don't know what you're signing yourself up
oh,
for.
Oh, I've gotten so many tweets about it this week. So, you know, I get it. And it's ridiculous, of course. You know, what's going to – this team – let me get – Lee's calling in. Let me get him in. He tried to call a little bit ago.
He did?
Yeah.
We're going to go unscreened?
Sure.
Oh, gosh.
Feeling it.
Oh, man.
What else can be? You got a dump button.
Yeah, but that's
up.
Not how I like to live life, Chris.
Don't mess up, Lee.
I'm not going to mess up, man. I just wanted to say that I agree with everything you guys are talking about, except they're not playing with any heart. You know, they used to go, and when they got a hit, they do the heart thing above their head. They need to do the heart thing and then put the heart around Peter Seidler. They're playing for Peter. Okay?
Okay. A little more heart, so, says Lee.
Well, this is what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, I said, says you.
If it was me, someone's got to tell them. When they get a double, a triple, whatever. Like, last time Kim's not playing really well. Maybe move him back to second. Put Bogarts on shortstop. Maybe he's not comfortable, you know? But that's another story. But when they get a hit, do the heart, and then point to Seidler's box. Where the family is.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
But here's the problem that they had with that today.
What? They didn't get.
By the time they got a hit, it was already 5-0. By the time Profar got their first hit in the fourth inning. And it's kind of hard to celebrate when you're down 5-0, then 7-0, then 8-0.
I think the heart.
Because they're giving that heart signal still,
all the time.
Are they not?
Yeah. I think the heart, that's what it means, is it's for Peter.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're doing it for.
It's a little less.
It's right there on the chest. They could go do it. I don't hate the idea of moving Kim and Bogart's positions. I don't hate the idea. I know they're never going to do it, but I don't hate it.
Well, you can explore all of those things and more with my friend Matt Scraby. He's not going anywhere. The Scraby Chronicles are coming up.
Yes.
So all you Scrabinators, get geared up. Another hour of sports talk for all of you until 7 this evening. Don't forget, tomorrow morning should be interesting between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., the commercial-free Padre Roundtable. Don't miss that. And then Tony joins us from Atlanta for Gwynn and Chris at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So everybody try to hang in there. We'll get this thing turned around as soon as we can on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, all this Padres stuff. I almost forgot. Tonight is like Christmas morning.
What?
Yeah. If you're an NFL football fan, this is like Christmas morning. The NFL schedule for 2024 has been released. I got the whole schedule right here. You ready to go, Scraby? Week one.
I don't find the schedule release as exciting as everyone else.
You don't think I should read off every single game that's going to be played this
year? Absolutely not. We could do that tomorrow. We have plenty of time tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll get into more on the schedule. Of course, it does open. It all starts Thursday, September 5th. Ravens at Chiefs, Thursday night football. That next night on Friday, it'll be the Packers and the Eagles, and I believe that game is in Brazil or somewhere
Friday,
far
yes.
away.
Yes, in Brazil.
It's only on Peacock, so I will not be watching that one. Then Sunday, September 8th are the openers. Just because I care, the Dolphins open at home against Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, fun.
The first Sunday night game is Rams at Lions.
Oh, sweet.
Rematch of last year's playoff. And the first Monday night game, Jets at 49ers.
Time.
I don't, you know, so you don't care. A lot of people do.
No, I said Showtime.
Showtime.
A lot of people do. They really love the schedule release. It's out. You can get it on NFL.com. Find out your favorite team's schedule for 2024. We find out what Dan and El Cajon has on his mind in the wake of a 8-0 loss to the Rockies today that completed a 3-game sweep for Colorado. Hi, Dan.
Hey guys, what a terrific show today. I mean, in spite of the gray weather and the gray ball game, I think you guys are doing a terrific job. Thank you. So here's my take really quick. You know, Manny Machado, two for 33. That's .060.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to give him a little bit of a rest out of that number four spot. Because that number four spot and number five with Bogaerts batting after him, yeah, we won four of those series in a row. But if we go back and look at those four series, it was the middle of the lineup. Arise, Cronenworth, Merle, and Capistrano that were doing a lot of the hitting and the scoring. And Profar, these were the guys that were doing most of the hitting. And we, the rally killers during those four series that we won was Machado and Bogart. If you go back and look at the 4-5 batting spots, when they bat 4 and 5, we don't score that well when we got runners in scoring position. So here's my final point. I think it's time to shake it up just a little bit, and maybe in the Cincinnati where we have a better shot at beating these guys, maybe move Profar to fourth, Merrill to fifth, Machado to sixth, bring up Capistrano to seventh, Bogart to eighth, and Kim to ninth. And I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Dan.
You know, it's interesting. First of all, thanks for the nice things you said at the beginning of the call. Secondly, I'm going to say some nice things now because I thought your call was good. It was well thought out. And even if I don't 100% agree with, you know, everything, I like when people take their time.
Yeah.
They sort it out.
Yeah.
They think it through.
They have
and they present their they present their case. Here's the thing, though. Manny Machado, what is he, 2 for 33? And I think he's grounded into 31 straight double plays.
Does feel like that,
it does, right? Yeah, it seems like every time he's up, it's a double play right now. And if it's not, it's a strikeout.
Yeah.
So it's just the worst of both worlds.
Or a soft out, like a pop-up.
But as I said earlier on the show, Dan, the Padres are going nowhere if Machado doesn't get going. The Padres are going nowhere if Tatis doesn't get going. Fernando needs to start taking over games.
He does.
With his arm, with his legs, you know, with his power. But Fernando's season so far, to me, has been largely unimpressive. 256. His OPS is about, I'm going to add it up here, it's 781. That's about 200 points lower than what Fernando normally gives you.
It's higher than I thought, to be honest.
Okay. I know he's got, what, has he got seven home runs? I don't
around
have
there.
I should have his stats in front of me,
I'll
and
grab,
I don't.
I'll grab them.
But here's the thing. Fernando needs to have a bigger impact on these games. He is electric and athletic and good enough to start winning some games on his own. And whether it's defense, you know, when he runs the bases and he starts getting guys to balk, and he starts stealing third.
Stealing home.
Stealing whatever he's got to do, you know, to, you know, excite everyone, get this team going, you know, start hitting some. He's got eight home runs.
He's got eight home runs.
All right. But start hitting some big, you know, rockets. He hit one the other night early in the game to help them beat the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
Got the game going, right?
Yeah.
Bottom of the first, bam, gone. Cronenworth, bam, okay. That gets you in a mood, gets you going. That's what Fernando can do, lighten a fire. I need to see more of that. I asked you, Scraby, before the show, name me a game this year that Fernando's just kind of taken over and won.
One immediately came to mind.
You said you had one.
Yeah, it was the Cubs when he hit that two-run home run late in the game that put him up,
okay,
and they won that game.
So I'll give you one, but that I'll give you that one, but that's out of 46 games, I need, you know, that to have happened three or four times with Fernando. Because he's that good. And he's making that kind of money. I mean, we're counting on this guy. You know, Machado, it goes without saying. 222 is not going to get it done. 622 OPS. Manny Machado, that's the kind of OPS that somebody like Brenton Doyle has. You know, I mean, come on,
poor
Manny.
Brenton Doyle.
I know, I didn't mean to throw Brenton under the bus, but my eyes went to him.
I'm looking. You're talking about
the box score.
You're talking about OPS slugging. And all that
let's
stuff.
Be honest about it. Brenton Doyle's over 800 right now, so he's doing a lot better than Manny.
In the month of May, I'm looking at Fernando's game log, and he does have plenty of games with hits. It's just that he's not hitting for power at all. He has one double in the month of May and two home runs in the month of May.
Yeah,
and he only has five RBIs in the month of May in what? One, two, three, like 12 games played.
Well, what I'm asking is not always identifiable by statistics.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you know, I get what you're saying. Like his presence.
Right.
His presence. Takes over.
His presence. He can take over games. He can win you games.
Pitchers are nervous when he's on the base path.
And they're nervous when he's in the batter's box.
Yeah.
And they're throwing good pitches to Arise because Fernando's next.
They don't want to pitch to him.
Right. A lot of things that Fernando can do. But he's not really doing that right now, you know? And we know Machado's in a major funk. Am I going to alibi for him and say his elbow's part of the reason? Maybe it is. I
got to say, last night, I saw him stretching his arm a ton last night. And I'm not going to say, he'll never say it's his elbow either.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that the Padres are better off with Manny in the lineup, and I know that's crazy to say right now, but
no,
the chat
you don't want
to saying,
take him out.
Chat is saying, put him on the IL. Then you're losing his services altogether.
Yeah, like, who you got? Tyler
Eggie.
Wade? Bring Eggie back. But I want to just finish up to Dan.
Yes.
Dan wants to move Machado down in the order, move Bogarts down. I don't hate that in the immediate future, but ultimately, again, this team's going nowhere without Machado batting cleanup and dominating, without Tatis at the top dominating, and without Bogarts starting to contribute, you know, mightily as well. But I've certainly thought about dropping Bogarts down.
He's already been dropped once.
Well, drop him again. because he's not doing it. And until he does it, I know he had a couple of home runs this week, but again, it's the impact is not there.
No,
it's the impact that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
All right, let's check some traffic, and then we'll finish up here.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Crash has cleared on southbound 5 before the 163, and an accident cleared on southbound 15 before Arrow Drive. Everything now in the center divide. On the northbound 15 before West Bernardo, there is a collision involving several vehicles, solved in the center divide. And on the coastline, northbound 5, Lucadia Boulevard off-ramp. Crash involving a couple cars there over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Kelly, very good. Everybody be safe out there. Don't take out your frustration on the car next to you.
No, just go on the chat and take out your frustration because...
Are they mad at me?
Now Joe Musgrove is under
Musgrove's
fire.
Musgrove's taking some heat now, huh?
Well,
Because he's not in there?
Yes, and here's the thing. Joe did an article with The Athletic and Dennis Lynn last week or the week before, and he basically laid out all of these freak injuries that he has put himself in bad spots for,
right?
The burning his feet, the dropping a kettlebell on his toe, the diving for a ball in AAA.
Okay.
And he was basically saying, yeah, I realize that I messed. I realize that I may not be on the IL right now if I don't dive for that ball. I tend to, you know, give them a little bit of leeway when they're taking responsibility for things they've done in the past. And he said he was dumb for doing those things, burning his feet and things like that.
I know,
but
that's all. But that's it. But what does that have to do with what's going on right now?
Because he should have been starting. And his shoulder is the problem right now, and his shoulder was hurt last
year. How does the kettlebell affect that? How does burning his feet affect that?
Because he missed time last year. We're not talking about just this year. We're talking about missing time last year.
Oh, please.
Please, what? He is missing time.
He's on the injured list. He hurt his shoulder. What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. I'm trying to see what the chat is seeing, and I can't.
Yeah, I don't see it. Sorry. If Musgrove can pitch, he's going to pitch.
Yeah.
He's always posted, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I don't recall Musgrove begging out of a start.
Never. Never.
All right? Look. It's not Musgrove, it's not Darvish, it's not King, it's not Cease, it's not even Suarez. Machado, Fernando, hello. You are the two guys that carry the flag for the Padres franchise. The team is built around these two guys. They got to go to Atlanta, and these two guys got to win them a couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
Profar can contribute as much, if, you know, I don't know if he can do more. Cronenworth, Jackson Merrill, Camposano, Solano, whoever you want to name, they can all do their part. But until Manny and Tatis go, team is going to be stuck in neutral. You know, a game over 500, a game or two under 500, you know, just kind of stumbling along here. And, you know, we got to get these guys cranked up.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I have for today.
There's not much else to say.
There isn't a lot more. I mean, you know, this is not what we expected this week, unless, you know, you're, you know, getting behind my sweep story that I tried to tell earlier.
Well, that was pretty funny.
It was funny, but
I knew when you said
it wasn't accurate.
I was like, man, I have been there myself so many times. Chris, you don't know what you're signing yourself up for.
Oh, I've gotten so many tweets about it this week. So, you know, I get it. And it's ridiculous, of course. You know, what's going to this team? Let me get Lee's calling in. Let me get him in. He tried to call a little bit ago.
He did?
Yeah.
We're going to go unscreened?
Sure.
Oh, gosh.
Feeling it.
Oh, man.
What else can be? You got a dump button.
But that's not how I like to live life, Chris.
Don't mess up, Lee.
I'm not going to mess up, man. I just wanted to say that I agree with everything you guys are talking about, except they're not playing with any heart. You know, they used to go, and when they got a hit, they do the heart thing above their head. They need to do the heart thing and then put the heart around Peter Seidler. They're playing for Peter. Okay?
Okay. A little more heart, so, says Lee.
Well, this is what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, I said, says you.
If it was me, someone's got to tell them. When they get a double, a triple, whatever. Like, last time Kim's not playing really well. Maybe move him back to second. Put Bogaerts on shortstop. Maybe he's not comfortable, you know. But that's another story. But when they get a hit, do the heart, do the heart, and then point to Seidler's box where the family is.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
But here's the problem that they had with that today.
What? They didn't get
it. By the time they got a hit, it was already 5-0. By the time Profar got their first hit in the fourth inning, and it's kind of hard to celebrate when you're down 5-0, then 7-0, then 8-0.
I think the heart,
because they're giving that heart signal still,
all the time.
Are they not?
Yeah, yeah. I think the heart. That's what it means. Is it's for Peter.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's what they're doing it for.
It's a little less.
It's right there on the chest. They could go do it. I don't hate the idea of moving Kim and Bogart's positions. I don't hate the idea. I know they're never going to do it, but I don't hate it.
Well, you can explore all of those things and more with my friend Matt Scraby. He's not going anywhere. The Scraby Chronicles are coming up.
Yes.
So all you Scrabinators, get geared up. Another hour of sports talk for all of you until 7 this evening. Don't forget, tomorrow morning should be interesting between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., the commercial-free Padre Roundtable. Don't miss that. And then Tony joins us from Atlanta for Gwynn and Chris at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So everybody try to hang in there. We'll get this thing turned around as soon as we can on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.